it's also interesting that Elisha from afar off could see her. Sometimes we feel that the Lord is not looking. Carest thou not, the disciple cries, that we perish? But he have seen the situation from afar off. Well, of course, the Lord Jesus is greater than Elisha. Elisha said, the Lord had hidden the matter from me. He realized there is something. But his eyes were there, and he was, and that's a comforting thing, that sometimes we feel like, where is the Lord? Is he watching? Of course he knew. Behold the Shunammite. The interesting thing is this again. He said, go and ask her. She answered Gehazi, it is well. She didn't tell him about anything. She only opened her mouth about the situation when she came to the man of God. And it's an admirable thing. She didn't say anything. All Gehazi know that all is well. Husband is fine, kid is fine, and I'm fine. She didn't say anything to him. But when she went to the man of God, she threw herself completely at his mercy. She take a hold of those feet. And like Jacob of old would say, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I am here and I'm holding at your feet because I have no other place to flee. No sanctuary, Lord, but thee. And when one got to this point where I have no other help, where I can go nowhere, where complaints would not help, where murmuring would not help, where one completely reached the end of himself, realize I can't do anything about it. And I'm casting myself completely on the mercies of the living God. Oh, there is answer. Oh, there is restoration. And oh, there is life that the man of God is able to give.
It's also interesting to know that in the scriptures we are, we find that it is recorded that women is regarded as a weaker vessel. A picture that is focusing in my mind is that men always get the preeminence in the sense of issues like this. I'm looking right now at Abraham and Isaac. Abraham offering Isaac. Abraham offered Isaac with assurance that God is going to restore Isaac. The same similar story here with this woman. She went to Elisha, the man of God, and said, no, she could have been complaining. She could have even reported it at the house before she left. But she could have been complaining. But she went to the man that she wanted to see. The question is that she could have gone there in the rage to say, I didn't ask for the child. You didn't ask for him. Why did you give him and take him back or kill him? But she went and went. All of us are in a human nature. You would be raging and you'd say, okay, this is no good. This is no, pick a prayer. She said, no, it's all well. Everything is good. And then the man of God, through the divine intervention of the Lord, he was able to see her, through her basically, and say, okay, this woman is grieved. And we see what really happened is that here, women, although they are regarded as the weaker vessel, this demonstrated a very high level of strength and power and confidence in God through Elijah.
One thing that it will be well with us to understand a little bit more about Mount Carmel and Elisha dwelling there. There were a lot of things taking place, as we have heard about Mount Carmel. But two things were unique that was said by Elijah. It says, Elijah drew near to the people. And then on the same mountain, he says to the people, draw near unto me. That he had this purpose, that the people of God can draw near to him. And Elisha, by this way, that the woman, she understood, she has access. Why is the access? Because it was prepared for her. The invitation is open. And brethren, let us not lose sight with the boldness that is given to us from the scripture to have access to the throne of grace. Why? Because it's been opened for us by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But how wonderful to see, as you were discussing, that we are reading details about the sadness of her heart. But nevertheless, when the scripture says her response, it was well, when she said it to the servant, and when she said well in relationship to her husband and her child, she was now acting on the principle of faith. Because we don't want to lose sight that this great woman of wealth was recorded in the chapter of faith. It was recorded of women that have received what they received, life. They received their children raised from among the dead. How did she receive it? She received it on the principle of faith. So even scripture supports that in light of New Testament, Hebrews 11, that this woman has a tremendous faith for her to be able to utter, "It is well," knowing that the one who said, "I will give you a child, I will give you a son," is able as well to sustain and to revive that son of hers.
So what might we say then about the matter of being caught by the feet? I think that's significant position to be in. So what might we say as to that?
It's a place where Mary had occupied at the feet of the Lord Jesus. In her contemplation and learning at his feet, Mary sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And here it is. They know if they need instruction, they get it from there. And here again, if she needs an answer, she gets it from there. Now, of course, it is a place of humility. But it's a place again where one is again cast completely down. It is a very hard place to be in. And I want to highlight the fact that there is something that is missing. And that is a matter of prayer and intercession in the time of need. I really wonder what have become of our prayer life. And I really wonder why things are just going the way we are thinking. Is that because we do not take everything to the Lord in prayer? Do we really? It is. We're living in a world where just we're becoming very independent. I mean, if you have an emergency, you call 911, right? Before you pray. I mean, it's faster. That's what we do. Call a doctor. You know, it just that's the way we're living. And it kind of like permeates the way we think. Yeah, you know, if you need food, you just go to the supermarket and buy it. You don't think, you know, it's just that's the way we are programmed in the days where we live. And we take things for granted. And then we wonder there is no satisfaction. And I really wonder if this matter of being in the presence of the man of God, holding on his feet, and saying, "I'm not going to let you go." And spending time there, this drive-through prayer business that we are having. You just place your order and you drive through. That is what characterizes us in the days where we live. It's a couple of minutes in the morning because you're in a hurry to go to work. It's a couple of days at night because you're hurried to go to bed. And you just place your order in the window and you drive through. And you wonder sometimes, well, nobody give me what I have asked for. There was a soul that knew what it is to sit in the presence of God and to hold what the feet of the man of God. I think that's what really the matter of holding.
I would suggest also that as far as the feet of the Lord Jesus, they are mentioned a few times in the scripture. But we read about wiping his feet, sitting at his feet, anointing, if you will, his feet. But there's only one time, as far as I remember, I stand to be corrected, that his feet were held. And that is in resurrection. That the man who brought life and immortality. When you read Matthew 25, it was said that when they met the Lord on the ground of resurrection now, that they held his feet and worshipped. Of course, over here, there is the sense of holding the feet. She had this understanding that the one who gave life is able to sustain it as well. And on that basis, she will hold his feet closely, because she knew what this man of God is able to do to life.
There's kissing his feet.
Yes.
Kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you, you perish by the way. So we can kiss his feet. We can worship him and praise him.